Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanair Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Well, welcome everyone one more time to The Art of Shepherding, where we have the deepest discussions about ministry and about the shepherding work. Tonight promises to be a blast, so I want to ask you to make sure that you stay through right up to the end, and I believe that you'll be blessed. And whilst you're here, why don't you do us a favor by liking the stream, sharing the stream. You know where you do your sharing, wherever you do your sharing, share the stream and the Lord will bless you. Before we continue, why don't you let me take a break and I'll be right back. You're welcome back. And like I said, tonight we're going to have an awesome time here like we always do. Tonight we have some very, very interesting things to discuss in relation to the shepherding work. But before we do that, I want us to set the tone with a bit of music. Like we always do, we'll take a track from First Love Music. This is The First Thing I Do featuring Jolin. So enjoy the music and I'll be right back.
Thyself from the dust, arise and sit down. Loose the bands from thy neck, O Jerusalem. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O captive daughter of Zion. What is the first thing that I do when I wake up in the morning? And what is talking to God.
I get up and I
lovely, lovely spiritual music there as usual from First Love Music. And I want you to know that you can find First Love Music on any of the streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, whichever one is your pick. Find it, find the extremely spiritual music, and Charlie, let it infuse your atmosphere and make your spiritual life better. She says that the first thing she does in the morning is to read her Bible. I wonder what the first thing it is that you do in the morning. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to delve into the real things of the show. And tonight we are very blessed to have with us someone whose experience in shepherding spans decades. He's been with us in the previous weeks. It's been fantastic. And tonight we are blessed to have him one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Bishop Edwin Ogo. Well, Bishop, you're welcome tonight.
It's a blessing to be here.
And it's always an exciting experience to have you here on the chat room. And I believe that tonight is going to be even more powerful. I believe that tonight God is going to speak to us and people's ministries are going to be changed.
Oh, yes. I this chat room has been a blessing to me personally. Yeah. You know, the things I share here are not originally mine. You know, I speak under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So I've had the opportunity to also sit here, hear myself, but it's the voice of the Spirit. And from that, I've gleaned very powerful nuggets of wisdom and understanding in this great work. You know, shepherding is the most difficult job on earth.
I just said that to somebody last
week. Yes. Oh, you told someone last week.
Yes.
Shepherding is the, taking care of God's flock. Yeah. It's not for the immature. It's not for the novice. It's a very difficult job. Every other job requires your energy or your mind or a combination of both. Yeah. But shepherding needs your energy, your mind, and your spirit.
Your spirit, that's right.
So it sucks all of you in. And I think it's very important that we have a platform, a channel to learn about shepherding or pastoring. That's right. You know, we are not using that word pastoring because the name of the show is Art of Shepherding, but actually it is pastoring. Because a shepherd is a pastor. Yes. The word shepherd is the same word for pastor. In Nigeria, when we went for crusades, we learned that the Yoruba word for shepherd is the same, a shepherd as in someone who tends and looks after sheep and so on.
Yes.
The Yoruba word is the same word for pastor.
Wow.
Yes. And I think Swahili also.
Wow.
Yes. I should have called someone for the words. Yes. The Nigerian word is, I think, Olusoaguto or some.
Wow.
Yeah. Olusoaguto. Yes. But I'm not quite sure. Please, you are Nigerian, forgive me. But the same word.
Better still, if you're watching from Nigeria.
If you're watching, you can type the Yoruba word. But it's the same word, you know. So I'm just saying that we don't use the word pastor much because of the nature of the show. But it is actually the art of pastoring.
Pastoring, that's right. Beautiful.
Yes, it's the art of pastoring. And a pastor needs to have a lot of knowledge. A lot of knowledge. You don't just get up just because you found a classroom and a pulpit and some chairs. You are a pastor and some big jackets to wear.
Like that at all.
Yes. Olusoaguto. That's the word.
Okay.
You see, and it's come on my screen. And so I think that is it. You can put it up for them to see.
Olusho.
And this word is the Yoruba word for shepherd.
Shepherd.
And also pastor. The word for pastor is the same word. So it's the same work. And I was saying that Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 compels pastors to have knowledge.
That's right.
It says, because you have rejected knowledge, I've also rejected you that you shall be no more a priest to me. Remember the first part of Hosea 4, 6 is, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Then the second part says that, because you have rejected knowledge, I, God, will also reject you that you shall no more be priests.
Wow.
So any opportunity to have knowledge must be embraced. Yeah. And I think this chat room is a veritable source of fresh, anointed knowledge for anyone who calls himself a shepherd or a pastor to have and also to use to do the work. So it's a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
Very, very powerful.
Very, very powerful. And I like what you said about the fact that it is under the unction, because it's not just a man who is speaking, it's not just two men who are speaking, but really it's the Holy Spirit that
Holy
is
Spirit.
Teaching his people some things, and there are revelations that are coming through and beautiful interpretations of this lovely book that we are using. And if you're a pastor, you're a shepherd, I encourage you to get one of these. Very, very important. You'll find it very useful. But Bishop, I discovered that tonight we are talking about something very interesting. And I'll tell you why it's interesting, because tonight we are on chapter 19 of this book,
which talks
about shepherding assignments.
Good.
And the first shepherding assignment we are talking about is to be gentle and tender.
Wow.
And I found it very interesting. I mean, the first time I saw that chapter, I found it very interesting, because somehow you don't relate being gentle and being tender with pastoring or looking after God's flock. Even in the natural, we see a shepherd as somebody who's carrying a stick, using it to hit the sides of the animals, and we don't really see a shepherd as someone gentle and tender. But when you read the chapter, you find that actually to be gentle and tender is really at the heart of what a pastor should be doing. And it just occurred to me that there are many complaints I hear about pastors which really border on not being gentle enough with the sheep, not being tender enough with the sheep.
The man is preaching already.
What can you tell us about this business of being gentle and tender?
No. The man is preaching. Please clap your hands for this pastor. Yeah, it's true. It's true that not being gentle and tender can be the bane of any pastor or any shepherd. It can really destroy the ministry and destroy the very concept of shepherding.
Yeah.
You see, a shepherd, and this title, which I have in my iPad, chapter 19, talks about the assignment to be gentle and tender. And anyone who is a shepherd must understand that it's, and I like the way Bishop Dagwood Mills, the author of this book, even titled the chapter, Shepherding Assignments. You know, it's an assignment.
Yes.
It is a role. It is something required of shepherds.
Yeah.
You see, it's a shepherding imperative. It is not something you can do without.
Yeah.
You know, and there are shepherds, pastors, who feel that being brutal is the way to go as a shepherd.
Very true.
But you will learn, as we are about to learn from this beautiful chapter, that one of the assignments of a shepherd is to be gentle. You see, you mentioned that the notion of a shepherd, you used to think, or people used to think of a shepherd as somebody with a stick. Hitting the sheep and beating them and so on. But is it not interesting that David, the psalmist, said, thy rod, which is for correction, and thy staff, the two of them, they comfort me.
Wow. Psalm 23. Yeah.
They comfort me. Psalm 23, not so.
Psalm 23.
Yes, verse 4. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So even if you have a rod and a staff,
it is
and a cane,
comfort.
And a belt, and a spear, and a knife, if at the end the sheep is not comforted, you've not carried out your assignment.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful start right there.
You know, so it's very important that pastors learn to be gentle and tender.
Yeah.
I'm saying it again that there is a notion, and you rightly alluded to that with that picture of a shepherd. There's a notion that a pastor must be brutal, must be, you know, hard and harsh and rash and brash. You know, there is a place for that. I'm sure we'll have the time to talk about it. But a shepherd must be gentle.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at the definition of the word gentle, as I have here from Webster.
Yeah.
Gentle means free from harshness.
Beautiful.
Or free from sternness. Hmm. Somebody in this meeting, you've lost some sheep because you were too stern and harsh. That's why you still have 8 members. But you could have had 27 by now. Yes. Free from harshness, sternness, or violence.
Wow.
I know the kingdom of God suffered violence. And the violent take it by force.
That's not
but you don't sheep. Visit that violence on the sheep. You must visit the violence on the devil.
Wow.
So gentle means free from harshness, sternness, or violence. Another meaning of gentle is soft. Soft and delicate. And then another meaning of gentleness, to be moderate. To be moderate. So that is it right there. A shepherd must be gentle. And I think before I even talk about the meaning of tender, I would like us to look at the scripture that is in the chapter that Bishop uses to give this powerful teaching.
Yeah.
It is a scripture from the encounter Jacob had with his brother Esau.
Yes.
You remember that Jacob, you know, took Esau's birthright and all that.
Yes.
And they separated for a while.
Time,
yeah. And a time came, they met to reconcile.
Yeah.
So when they met, Jacob and Esau met, they were old.
Yeah.
So, you know, they reconciled, to cut a long story short. After that, Esau told Jacob that, then let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. I'm going to say S-E-I-R. Let's go. So, and Esau said, I will take the lead. So just follow and let's go.
Yeah.
Now, Jacob said something which became the template for shepherding.
For shepherding. Mm.
And that is what you find in Genesis 33, verse 13.
Okay.
So I'm about to read the words of Jacob.
Jacob.
His response to Esau's request to go.
To travel together.
To travel together. And Jacob said in verse 13, he said, and he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender. And the flocks and herds with the young are with me.
Beautiful.
If men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Verse 14.
Wow.
So he said, let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure until I come unto my Lord unto Seir.
Beautiful.
So this is Jacob's response.
Beautiful.
That, you know, I cannot just go the way you are going.
Yeah.
You came to me alone We are brothers. We've had problems. We've reconciled. Yeah. But I can't walk with the same pace that you are walking, because I have got, verse 13 says that I've got children with me.
That's right.
Number one. And then even the animals and the cattle and the sheep with me have their young also with me.
That's right.
Do you see? So there is a way I must go. Yeah. There's a way I must travel.
Yeah.
I can't travel as any other person, because
right.
I am a shepherd with sheep. So a shepherd with sheep has a way he orders his life.
Wow.
Because a shepherd with sheep must also think of the sheep and their circumstances. Wow. So that is what leads to this very important shepherding assignment, that a shepherd must be gentle. When you are with sheep, you must be gentle. When you are with cattle, you must be tender. You must be gentle. And when you are with children, human beings, children, you can't treat them like adults.
Right.
So I believe that every shepherd must learn.
Yeah.
And Bishop treats this chapter with 5 points.
5 points, yeah.
And they are very powerful points.
Very, very powerful.
I don't know.
First if, one is because the children are tender.
Yes, please. What's the first point there?
It says shepherds must be gentle and tender because the children are tender.
That is it.
Children are tender.
So a shepherd must be gentle and tender because the children are tender.
Children are tender.
So if you are with children, you can't be harsh and hard and brash and rash.
Yeah. They are weak.
They are weak.
You can't use the same amount of strength on them that you use on an adult.
You see, and many shepherds unwittingly, unknowingly, have sacrificed their future for the conveniences of the present.
Yeah.
All the members who would have been in your life 20 years from now, 10 years from now, you've used harshness and sternness to drive them away.
Yes.
And if you look at verse 13 of Genesis 33, at the end, he says that if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. So some shepherds have killed their sheep.
Yeah, that's right.
So a time comes, you have nothing.
You have nothing. Yeah.
So this session we are having is to delve into the art of being gentle and tender, how your mind ought to work.
Yeah.
And that's why I read the dictionary meaning.
Very important.
To be tender means, you see, I said gentle means free from harshness.
Free from harshness.
Sternness or violence. Mm. It also means to be soft or delicate or moderate. And then tender, which is used in the verse.
Yes. 33:13. Genesis
33:13. It says tender. Now, that word tender means something marked by or responding to or expressing softer emotions.
Oh.
Tenderness means having softer emotions.
Wow.
And another meaning is being careful or sensitive in handling anything.
Wow.
Being careful or sensitive. So it's an important shepherding assignment. Anyone watching, you have members, you have sheep, you have a church, you are in the right meeting. You've joined the right forum on the internet.
Yeah.
This is a very important discussion we are having. And I would like you to share the link. Share the link. Send this link to somebody, a shepherd you know in your church, a pastor you know. Send it to 10 friends and ask them to join, because we are learning how to become shepherds. Through this, in some years' time, some members you would have lost will still be in your life.
That's right.
As your helpers, as your strengtheners, as servants under you, and as friends, and as a part of the army God has used you to build.
That's right.
May you not get to the end of your ministry with nothing because you killed them you just drove them away. May gentleness and tenderness be the hallmark of your shepherding virtues. In Jesus' name, amen.
I love that, Bishop. The second point is shepherds must be gentle and tender because they are young ones among the flocks and the herds, which is also similar.
Yes.
And I, you know, some years ago, I had a brother tell me that he was beginning to drift out of the church. And when I spoke with him, he said that where he had come from, he'd come from a life of weed smoking, you know, doing all the things you want to think about. And he said to me that, you know, when I was in the world doing drugs, the people I did it with, I enjoyed far more concern, care,
wow,
attention from them than I'm experiencing in the church. And I've never forgotten that.
Wow.
I've never forgotten that because it really jolted me out of a certain fantasy, because it made it, I mean, for somebody to compare their life in the church
yes,
with their previous life in
yes,
the world, and actually pinpoint something about yes, it that they felt was better than what they're experiencing
yes,
now, really shook me.
Yeah.
But as you speak now, I realize that it's true, because often the church can be one of the cruelest places.
Yes.
And I mean, sometimes you see shepherds talk to their sheep, pastors can be harsh, and you know, very condemnatory, very, you know, judgmental. And in my experience, it never provides any of the results we wanted to.
Thank you.
I really found a sheep who has changed because they've been yelled at,
yes,
or they've been accused, or they've been condemned. Rather, I find that when people experience love,
yeah,
people experience your patience, people experience gentleness, they now become inclined to change.
That is it. Which is the 1 Corinthians 13 definition of love. Love is tender,
yeah,
really. Yes, love is gentle.
Yeah.
Love does not boast. Love does not exert itself unduly.
Yeah.
You see, and I mean, remember when Jesus was faced with a woman caught in adultery?
Yeah.
What was his response?
Yeah.
He was gentle.
Yeah, that's right.
His accusers, who later we got to know,
were also
fornicators and sinners.
They were also not clean at all.
Yes, we're wild, very, very wild guys.
Clean.
We're not clean. You know, so we need to be like Jesus.
Yeah.
We need to learn the tenderness of Jesus,
yeah,
and the gentleness of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because a shepherd has sheep.
Yeah.
And the sheep are looking for tenderness and love.
Yeah.
And like you said, wherever they find that tenderness and gentleness, they'll gravitate. Even if it's in drugs,
yeah,
it is among whatever category of sinners you may call them to be.
Yeah.
Once they find a sense of belonging,
yeah,
they'll be there.
Yeah.
So, but there should be nowhere on planet Earth where anyone must find tenderness and love.
Yeah.
Other than the environs of a pastor,
the
immediate environment of a pastor in a church.
Yeah.
So if you are a shepherd, if you are a pastor, I want to say to you that your assignment is to be gentle.
Yeah.
Your assignment is to be tender. Your relationship with your flock should be free from harshness and sternness and violence. Generally speaking, I believe that there are instances where a shepherd must be hard. But we'll get there. But generally, even with the rod and with the staff, it must lead to comfort.
Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful. And it's just, I'm just, you know, putting some things together, and I'm realizing that we spoke about the heart on this show first.
Okay.
And as I hear you talk about love,
wow,
it's suddenly occurring to me that the hard discussion is the perfect foundation on which to build these shepherding assignments. Because without a certain type of heart for the sheep, you really can't begin to talk about being gentle and tender. Wow. Gentle and tender is not something you can manufacture. It's not something that you can pretend to do. It's not some steps you learn to do or whatever, but it must come out of a heart that genuinely loves the sheep.
It's uncanny how you've linked the earlier episodes with this. I've not even thought about it, but I think that is it, you know. And I mean, if you are a pastor, you are a shepherd, maybe God brought you into this meeting to speak to you that it's very important for you to learn to let your dealings be gentle. Let your dealings be free from harshness and violence. And I like the tender part. He said, being careful and sensitive in handling. You know, sheep are tender. Sheep are not crocodiles. They are not even goats. In Matthew 25, the goats were separated. They were sent to the left. Sheep are different. And if you will have sheep, if you will retain them, I tell you that kindness, gentleness, and tenderness must be at the heart of your ministry. And I'm praying that God will teach you through this session we are having how to imbibe that spirit of tenderness, how to have that capacity to be gentle. Because you are going to be pushed. I have been pushed several times. And many times I have failed. But I'm learning. I'm learning right now that it is very important for me as a shepherd, you know, to let my dealings be free from sternness and harshness. Otherwise, you will overdrive them and drive them away. And that is the point. You see, if you look at point number three in this chapter 19, you will see that Bishop says, shepherds must be gentle and tender because your flocks will die if you overdrive them. And many of us who are called into the shepherding work may not know that a lot of our sheep have died. Some who are even with you today
are dead.
Yes, because they see you as an authoritarian dictator.
Overbearing.
Who has no space in his heart for gentleness and kindness. But that is not what we learned. When Jesus invited us, he invited us to learn of him. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. So when we come to Christ, we must come to learn of him. Point number four, he says, shepherds must be gentle and tender. Oh, I'm having a good time.
Oh, yes.
I'm having a good time.
Oh, yes.
And I want to ask you to keep sharing the link. This is for shepherds worldwide. There is somebody in Thailand who needs to come online.
That's right, yeah.
Send the link to somebody in Singapore, a pastor you know in India. I want to say to all those in Nigeria, you are welcome. I learned last week that a large number of viewers from Nigeria were online.
Wow.
I don't know how you got to be online or how you even got to know about the chat room, but it's your responsibility to share this link and let everyone who is in the ministry know that God is speaking.
That's right. Yeah.
God is speaking. So shepherds must be gentle and tender because flocks must be led softly. And that is what Jacob said. And the last point Bishop gives is before I welcome questions. He said, shepherds must be gentle and tender because the flock can only be led as much as the children can endure.
Very important.
Yes.
Which is that the pace of movement of the flocks is at the pace of the children.
Thank you.
At the pace of the weakest.
You don't look at the strongest to lead.
No.
You look at the weakest to lead the people. The pace. Yes.
And at this point, Bishop, I want to ask two questions.
Please.
There are two things I want you to delve into. One, where we draw the line between being gentle and tender and having to be firm. Because we do know that, and I think at some point we'll come to that shepherding assignment, but some part of shepherding requires some firmness. Even some of the children, so to speak, like if you have your children at home, there's a time when you need to be firm with them. There's also a time when you obviously you be gentle and tender with them. We treat our children with tenderness, but there's a time when there's some firmness required. Where does a shepherd draw that line? How, or can you help us with some tips to, that's the first thing. And then the second thing on my mind is how this could easily be interpreted by shepherds to cross the line with sheep in terms of the gentleness and the tenderness. And I think that is usually the biggest fear people have, the biggest problem people have, you know, especially when it is opposite sexes. Especially when it's opposite sexes, you know. Let's be real, you know.
Tender.
Especially my shepherds who are young men and young women.
You have to be gentle.
At what point does... where does a guy find his balance, Charlie, so that he's not doing something that is misinterpreted or something that leads him the wrong way?
I will say that it's a very good point, and I will talk about the second point first. You know, tenderness in ministry is not being romantic.
That's a fantastic opener right there.
Yes.
A distinction is not romantic.
We are not talking about being romantic. That member is
wow.
not your beloved. It's not your girlfriend. It's not your wife. It's not your lover. It's a sheep.
Draw the line clearly.
Yes.
Wow. Beautiful.
So tenderness, when we say being tender, being soft, and being gentle and being sensitive does not mean you must go about groping breasts and touching arms and petting members. Look at my... Where is the camera? Look at...
The cameraman should
tenderness is not being romantic. To be tender portends a totally different concept. Don't introduce poison into your ministry. Your members are your sheep. They are not your lovers. They are not your beloveds. She's not your wife. And I like the way you have actually opposed even being hard sometimes to this subject we are talking about. But I want to say it right there, that when we say tenderness, it's not the killing me softly type of tenderness.
My goodness.
Where you are alone with the
soft,
sheep,
soft and
with soft lights and instrumentals, and you are alone sipping Coca-Cola on ice.
With lemon inside.
With lemon to spice it up. No, you have veered off the narrow way.
Beautiful.
You are now into sexism, and you are now bordering towards. You know the words coming.
Oh, this is beautiful, beautiful. I absolutely love that distinction. Because I think that it is one of the biggest points of judgment that the world puts on the church today, where shepherds and pastors have crossed the line with a member, crossed the line with somebody who's supposed to be their sheep. And when you go out there, it's one of the commonest things you hear about. And I've had shepherds who say that, I go to visit my sheep and the mother is behaving funny. the mother thinks that I'm up to something, or the sheep herself is behaving funny. She thinks that I'm up to something.
Of course.
And I tell people that it's important to draw the line.
Yeah.
It's important to draw it. And I like the way you've put it. You've put it very, very clearly that to be tender is not being romantic.
No.
The two things are not the same. There's a difference.
No.
To be kind to people, to be gentle, to not be harsh, to treat people with to be considerate towards people. Because Jacob was being considerate of the children by moving at their pace. To be considerate of people, to be sensitive to what people can handle and what people cannot handle, you know, is very different from being romantic. And I really need everybody who's watching to really get that point, to understand that being tender is not about being romantic. It's not about being in dark corners with a sheep, or being, you know, even being alone with your sheep is not really something that you should just do anyhow. You know, you need to be careful. So we are not talking about becoming romantic and becoming a lover boy or a lover girl. We are talking about being tender.
Yeah.
Bishop, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. I don't know. I think maybe you won't take some questions from the audience at this time. But I want to do something quickly before Bishop takes questions, which is that I want to remind everybody who's watching that you're watching this show. In fact, I'm told on authority that for many of you, it's becoming your favorite place. It's becoming your plug for ministry things. My studio audience agrees, but I want you to do something for me. I want you to consider and to agree with God to support this beautiful work that is going on. There are always resources that go into the production of anything like this. And we want you to support, to sow a seed. And I told you last week that there are two things here. One, you're supporting, and two, you're sowing a seed. Because the sowing a seed part means that God is reaching out back to you with something.
Thank you.
Now, we want to ask you to support the show, to tie your ministry to this show. We believe that God is with us. This is coming to you because God has instructed us to do it. And we want you to be a part of that. So on the screen now, you see the numbers. For those of you who are in Ghana, can use the first number above, which is Art of Shepherding, written beneath it. And for those of you who are giving internationally, you can use the bottom number, which has the name Laureen Boateng beneath it. But I want you to give beautifully, generously. Let the Lord touch your heart. Give a generous donation to support this beautiful work. Want to continue to do a good job. Continue to support us. And I believe that God will bless you. Do consider doing it. It's a seed you are sowing. You are joining yourself to this beautiful ministry. And I believe that God will bless you. We'll take a break, quick break, and when we come back, we'll take some questions, comments, etc. from the audience. All right.
Travel with me along the hillside and the sheep ranches as we discover together what true shepherding is. Psalm 23, literally coming alive. The Art of Shepherding by Dag Hayward Mills. The pages of this book contain detailed and carefully selected instruction vital for your success as a shepherd of God's flock. This is the book you've been waiting for, an extensive exposition of the sheep, the shepherd, the shepherd's heart, and ministry realities. In this book, Dag Hayward Mills draws from his over 30 years' experience as a shepherd to share practical insights into the work of the ministry. Get your copy of The Art of Shepherding by Dag Hayward Mills online at daghaywardmillsbooks.org. Also available now in audio version on speakthewordaudio.com. The Art of Shepherding by Dag Hayward Mills, your guidebook on your exciting shepherding journey.
So you're welcome back. And if you just joined us, this is the Art of Shepherding chat room. And we are here talking about everything pertaining to the ministry and to shepherding. And tonight, we're talking about shepherding assignments from this book, The Art of Shepherding, by Bishop Dag Hayward Mills. And we're talking tonight about the shepherding assignment to be gentle and tender. And if you have just joined us, you missed, because Bishop has just told us clearly that to be tender is not to be romantic. It's not to be romantic. Be careful. But at this point, you know, it's a chat room, so we want to interact. We want to hear from other people. We have some people in the studio we want to hear from. So we're going to take a few questions, and we'll see how far we can go with the questions. Let's take our first question tonight.
Hi.
All right. Just tell us your name and tell us your question.
Hi. Hi, I am Ayaba. Please, can you explain what YANG stands for in the context of shepherding sheep? And for how long must a Christian stay young? Thank you.
Wow.
Okay, so your question is about young, and I can understand, because as we are in the church, how do we define who is young in terms of our sheep? Is it just physical age? I don't believe so.
No. It's not physical age. Yeah. And young is a good word. Mm. It's a very good word. And what Jacob alluded to, he said the cattle are with young.
Young, that's right.
Young. And two things I want to say about the word young. Number one is that young is a very good word.
Yeah.
We must all believe God to be young.
Mm.
Forever.
Wow.
Young forever. Where the word young means to have energy. To have enthusiasm. To have zeal. When you say, well, somebody, that's a young group. Mm. They are young. There's youthfulness.
Yeah.
So all of us must aspire. The 30-year-olds and the 80-year-olds and the 60-year-olds. Because God says he will renew our youth.
Yeah.
So constantly he's renewing our youth. So number one is that young is a good word. There's a sense where it's a good word. Number two, the word young is also a word we use to describe immaturity, which is what we are talking about.
Yeah.
These are the people you must be gentle and tender towards.
Yeah.
That is, he said, the cattle are with young.
Yeah.
In many areas, when we say young, we mean somebody who has not matured.
Matured, yeah.
And our churches have immature people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the question is that how long must we be?
How do we determine who is young?
How do you determine who is young?
What goes into
who is young? Yeah. You know who is young by knowing who is immature.
Yeah.
Who is a child? And it's not 1 month being in Christ for a month or a year or 6 months.
Yeah.
It is for as long as you have not become spiritual. Yes, as long as you've not become spiritual, we are going to treat you with kid gloves.
Yeah.
And a pastor has a responsibility to know those who are mature and relate with them in a certain way.
Yeah.
And those who are immature, those, and they are the ones we call young.
Yeah.
So if you read Hebrews 5, for instance, the writer of Hebrews talks about a time when you ought to be a teacher.
Yeah.
When you are not a teacher, rather you need someone to teach you, Hebrews 5:12.
Yeah.
Right there, you are looking at somebody who is young.
Yeah.
So anybody who is not carrying somebody along, helping someone in his or her Christian walk, is young.
Yeah.
Whether he's been in church for 20 years or 10 years or 2 months, that chronological time is not what we use here.
Yeah.
We know you are still young, and therefore we must be careful how we talk to you. I've got church members who have been in church for 15 years, 20 years, 7 years. When I relate to them, I'm very nice to them.
Oh,
your dress is nice. Your son, where did you get your shoes from? Wow. I always have accolades and superlatives.
Yeah.
I treat them with tenderness.
Yeah.
Because I can't ask the person why you are not in church. I didn't see you at the prayer meeting.
That's right.
We've been fasting for 2 weeks. Yeah. I've not seen you in the evenings. What is wrong with you? Are you? No. When I see you, how is life? Oh, really? I've not seen you ever. Did you travel? No, I've been in town. Wow. How's your husband? Oh, how's your wife?
Yeah.
Because I know this person has not even developed spiritually enough to even carry anybody along, to even teach somebody.
Yeah.
When someone is in a church and has not even taught, doesn't teach others, anyone who doesn't teach others is young. And you must be gentle with the person. You don't rebuke such persons. You are not hard towards them. Yeah. And also, people in the church who are unspiritual.
Yeah.
They are young.
Yeah.
They are children.
Yeah.
In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1, Paul was saying that, I wanted to write to you or speak to you as spiritual people.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 3, 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So young, baby, child, they are all one and the same.
Unspiritual.
When you meet somebody in the church, you see, that's why a pastor must know his members.
Yes.
You must know them.
Yeah.
You must relate with them.
Yeah.
You must know that this person is unspiritual. This person is a carnal Christian.
Yeah.
The person hasn't been able to shed off the stigmata of carnality.
Yeah.
It's in the church, chasing girls, clubbing, has not even been able to get unbeliever songs from his phone. Comes to church once in a month, appears. Those people are young. They are children.
Yeah.
They may be 48 or 62, but spiritually they are babies. It's interesting that in this verse, 1 Corinthians 3:1, Paul equates babies with carnality and to unspirituality.
Yeah.
You know, so that is it. How long can a person be young? The person, for as long as the person is unspiritual, he's young. And we have them. You can't cleanse the church of unspiritual people.
Yeah.
You can't drive out carnal Christians from the church. They are a part of the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
A church is a hospital
where
sick people are.
Yeah.
The day you find everyone spiritual, it means Christ has come. You're actually in heaven.
Wow, beautiful. The day you find everybody... Mature means Christ has come.
So young is somebody who is not helping anyone to develop.
Yeah.
Somebody who is not mature.
Yeah.
Somebody who is carnal and unspiritual.
Yeah.
And if you are a pastor and you are indeed close to your members, you will know.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody who doesn't pay tithes is young.
It's unspiritual.
It's a child. It's unspiritual.
Yeah.
And such people need tenderness and gentleness. One day, they will mature.
Yeah, yeah.
Even our children.
Yeah, yeah.
Not every child begins to speak or crawl at the time prescribed.
At all.
No.
At all. Yeah.
No. And some are late developers.
They develop differently.
So till that time, be gentle and be tender with
and
them.
And there's something that you said which I picked up, which is that this subject we're talking about requires a shepherd to know his sheep very well, which is something I also picked up, that the shepherd, and much like a parent who understands that with this boy I need to yell at him to sit up, with this one I need to sit down with him and talk with him and encourage him to sit up.
Yes.
I'm trying to achieve the same thing, but I'm approaching the two of them differently. So it requires a shepherd to actually know the sheep, know what makes each of them take, know what level they are at, and not just approach people in a blanket fashion, because that's also something we are guilty of.
Thank you.
That, you know, sometimes we just call everything, we call a big meeting and just fire it. And we just issue it like a radio station. But that's not the way to do it, you know. Each one of our members, every sheep that is under us requires a particular way of being approached, a particular way of being handled. With the same issue, trying to achieve the same thing, you approach two people very differently based on the levels at which they are. And I really picked up on that you really need to know the sheep.
You need to know them. If you don't know the sheep, you won't know who is sensitive, who you must treat with care.
Yeah.
And with harshness and with severity and severeness, if there's a word like that, we've driven them out.
Yeah.
Immaturely, we've killed them.
Yeah.
So that is a very important assignment, to know who is young among them and among your sheep. And be gentle.
Yeah.
Be gentle. What you will ask Esau to do, don't let Jacob do it, because Jacob has young with him.
Beautiful. Well, I think we can take a few more questions. Let's have a next question. We have another question in the audience. Yes, let's hear.
Hey, Bishop. I am Honam. And personally, I'm being blessed by your insightful teaching. So my question is, how does being gentle and tender as a shepherd affect the lives of young ones?
Okay. How does being gentle
and tender as a shepherd affect the life of the young ones?
Because, you see, there's a rule book. There's a rule book from which we get the rules, and that's the Bible. And one of the rules is that you must be, I don't know how to put it, you must be to a person what he is. So it's your responsibility to know who or what a person is. And you relate with the person at that level. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, for instance, he said, to the weak, I became weak.
That's right.
So when you see a weak person, you become weak.
Yeah.
When you see a weak person, you shouldn't be strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a law in the rule book. Yeah. Which is coming back to the point you are making, that it's important to know your members.
Yeah.
Because a shepherd cannot be strong to a weak person. Mm. 1 Corinthians 9, 22. To the weak became I as weak. He said, and I have become all things to all men.
All men, that's right. Yeah.
That I might by all means save some. So if you really want to save your members, if you want to save a believer, you must know, if the person is strong, you must be strong.
Yeah.
If the person is weak, you must also be weak. So that's the answer to your question, my sister. It's important to know, when somebody is young, the person is weak. That is when you must be tender and gentle. Later, you will meet somebody who is strong, and then you apply other ways of shepherding, other shepherding skills.
Lovely, 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 lovely. I'm trying to take the questions rapid fire. We have another question in the audience somewhere. Yes, yes, my brother, ask your question.
Please, my name is Darlington. Bishop, yeah. I want to ask, does the shepherd consider the personal situation of the sheep in order to determine whether to be hard or be soft?
Ah,
that's a good one. But I also think it's along that
line. Yes, that's a good question.
Yes.
Esau was talking to a mature supplanter. A mature trickster. Do you see? Yeah. Clap your hands for this question. Beautiful question.
Mature supplanter.
So meeting someone is not enough. Coming back to the point again. Know your sheep. Know their personal circumstances. Because see, somebody can be strong, like Jacob. A hard guy, but his personal circumstances had young ones with him. So it's important to consider even a person's life. There are meetings I have called and asked everyone to come. And by the side, I've called certain individuals and said, don't come. Don't come, because I am aware of the person's personal circumstances. So if you are a shepherd or a pastor and you are distant from your members, you will treat people you see as what you are seeing. Yeah. But a pastor treats his members in a context. Yeah. His personal life is very important.
You are spot on. I think that sometimes people have a history.
Yes.
People have something in the background. They've experienced something and it affects them and it affects how they relate. And definitely also affects how they see everything that is being done to them.
Exactly.
And so, you know, it's important that...
When I look at myself, I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
I've been a pastor for a few years.
Few decades, you know, more like it.
But there have been times in my life I've needed to be treated with tenderness because of a problem I'm in.
At that time, yeah.
Yes. And at that time, I've seen differences. People who saw me from afar and didn't know what I was going through treated me like the strong man I am. But those who knew me and who knew what I was going through were tender and gentle. They say, oh, you know something? Take care of this problem. Don't come. Don't do this. Are you sure you can come? So, oh, I'll try and come. So it's very important, really. And I'm very happy that this question came, that we must not see Jacob's as Jacob's alone.
Yeah.
Have an eye for the things around Jacob, and you will learn to be a good pastor.
Okay. I have a little more time, so I want to take a few more questions. Let's take another question. There was another question in the audience.
Hi, Bishop.
Yeah, okay.
My name is Enoch. And I want to ask from the scripture you quoted in Genesis chapter 33, verse 13.
Right.
That how can you help me understand what it means to overdrive sheep?
Mm. Okay. Genesis 33, 13. He said, let's read the verse again. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender and the flocks and herds with young are with me. If men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. So that's a very important question. What does it mean to overdrive? A shepherd must not overdrive. To overdrive means to let somebody bear and carry more than he or she can. Yeah. To overdrive means to force somebody beyond the limit he can bear. And everybody has limits. Yes, everybody. I mean, if you know a member who is taking care of his young children because his wife is not well, you can't ask that person to come for an all night. Forcing him to come for an all night, it means that you are overdriving the person. You know, when you overdrive a person, it means you are not even aware of his personal circumstances. And I will tell you that it is very important that we know our sheep and we know our members, because when you overdrive a person, you will kill the person. A lot of sheep are dead because we gave them more than they could carry. Jesus talked about the scribes, that they put on people too much that they are not even prepared to carry. So it's very important that we must drive the sheep. But to overdrive means that you are pushing the person to do more. Too much more than the person can.
Yeah.
You are making contributions for a project in the church, or we are gathering money for something, and you have levied everybody X amount. You should know that this person, if I force him to find money, I may be sending him to go and steal.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Very true.
Do you see? And that is overdriving.
Yeah.
And in the end, sheep have been overdriven to their death. And it calls for a need to be aware of the personal circumstances and the issues they are going through, so that you titrate or you measure your demands against their difficulties they are already in. Otherwise, they will die.
I think that I'm hearing over and over again the importance of knowing our members individually.
Yes.
And I'm seeing that more and more this shepherding thing is not a mass business.
No.
It's got to be individual. It has to be person by person.
No.
And I like the scripture you quoted from Paul, because then a shepherd has to learn to be different things to be different people. You know, to look at one person with a stern face, rebuke the person, turn to the very next person and approach the person with a tender smile, with niceness, overlook the person some way. You can have two people who've done the same thing that is wrong, but you approach them very differently. For one person, hey, it's okay, Charlie, next time we'll try and do our best. But for the other person, no, I will not accept this from you, because you know that they are at very different levels and they need very, very different things. So that's very important, but, right there.
Yeah.
I told you tonight was going to be awesome. Beautiful. It's beautiful.
And just to buttress the point you are making,
yeah.
Psalm 23, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd."
Beautiful.
"The Lord is not our shepherd." A pastor can never take away the individualness of his pastoral skills. There's nothing. It's only cocoa that you do mass spraying. Mass spraying of cocoa. You cannot mass spray sheep. You cannot mass care for sheep.
Yeah.
You cannot give every sheep the same dosage.
Yeah.
You must know that every sheep has what we call a BMI, body mass index. The weight of the sheep, the height of the sheep. Every sheep has his spiritual weight, spiritual height, and you use that to measure the medicine to give the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Not the Lord is our shepherd.
It's beautiful, and I think that we cannot emphasize this point enough, because so often I come across shepherds who feel that just having meetings, sending WhatsApp messages on group pages is enough, and it's the shepherding work. I mean, I see that so often. There are so many times I've called people aside and said, "Listen, the message you sent on the page, you can't do that. First of all, you can't speak to the people like that. And secondly, these are conversations you need to have with people individually, you know?" But so many times, I think that many of us see the sides of our pastors that are in the meetings, and we never bother to go close enough to see the personal side, the personal touches, how many personal meetings happen in his office, how many people come and see him one-on-one during the week, weekday evenings, outside of Sundays. We don't know the personal text messages that are exchanged. We don't know. All we know is, oh, what we see in the meeting.
That is it.
And so we assume that shepherding people is about the meeting, it's about text messages on pages. But
that is why Jesus never placed any premium on crowds.
Beautiful.
No. You remember when he taught the 5,000? He didn't care whether they understood it or they understand. Rather, he called. You see, the fewer the number you are ministering to, the better your pastoral skills.
Beautiful.
If you are a real pastor, we will know it by how you spend it with the individuals.
Wow.
So the most powerful things in the Bible between Jesus and the sheep occurred with Jesus and individuals.
Beautiful.
Born again, John 3, 1 Nicodemus.
One-on-one.
So there are even pastors who say that if being born again was so important, Jesus would have taught it to the 5,000.
Wow.
What they don't know is that Jesus's the most important moments, the treasures were given to individuals. The woman at the well, Zacchaeus, calm down.
Yeah.
Yes, Martha, Mary, one-on-one. A pastor who only mass sprays, whose ministry ends on Sunday after you have sprayed your congregation with a watery message.
That's right.
You deserve to be called a welder or an electrician. You are not a pastor. Drop the Bible and find your right profession. A pastor deals with, relates with, and ministers to individuals, so that you know their masses and heights, and you measure the care based on their BMI.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I think even cocoa trees, they actually prune them and weed around them individually.
Individual.
Even the cocoa trees.
Ah, okay. So that's
even the cocoa trees. So
you can never move away from the care.
All,
individual.
At all. Very important.
Mr. Shepherd.
Yeah.
Miss Pastor. With 30 members. Can you write down the 30 names and talk about each name, what you know about the person, what the person is going through currently? What can you see? If I point to number 7, I mention the name, and I give you 3 seconds, what can you say about name number 7? We must spend 80% of our time as pastors ministering to the individuals and the smallest of groups we can, and spend the least amount of time ministering to the larger numbers and the larger crowds. That's how to be a shepherd. Why? So that you will know their personal circumstances and know how to be tender and gentle.
Beautiful. Wow. I think we can take a couple more questions. I have one question from this side. Okay, there's a young lady who also asked a question.
Yes. I think your microphone is not on.
Hello, Bishop. My name is Deborah.
Deborah, yes. And one day you'll be a pastor, you'll be preaching. So when you are preaching, you learn to see whether a microphone is turned on.
I know, right?
before you start ministering speaking. Revelations.
Prophetess.
Yes. Well, Deborah, please let your question come.
Please, my question is from point number 4. And it reads that shepherds must be gentle and tender because flocks must be led softly.
Mm.
And Genesis chapter 33, verse 14, we read that, "Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my Lord, unto Sarah."
Mm.
Bishop, please, in this scripture, we see that Jacob is leading a large number of people and children, and he's saying that he will lead on softly, as much as the cattle and the children will be able to endure.
Beautiful.
So my question is, what does it mean to lead on softly?
Wow. That's a theologian right there. Clap your hands for her. What does it mean to lead on softly? Yes. And I'm saying again, Deborah, that to lead softly is not to kill them softly. It's not to be romantic. But back to the question on a more serious note. Leading softly means being aware of their weaknesses. You see, a shepherd, somebody is watching you, I'm now talking to you. A true shepherd overlooks the mistakes.
Yeah.
Yes. To lead on softly means to overlook the mistakes of people and accommodate them. To lead on softly means to allow weaknesses and give people time. God even gave us time. To lead on softly means to overlook the moments you had to be hard on them, harsh on them, and still restrain yourself with patience to be gentle. So leading on softly means that you are helping the person to overcome the usual challenges that other people who are hard and strong, who could have managed on their own. You held the person's hand as a shepherd, and you helped the person to navigate through the difficulties of his or her life. That is what it means to lead on softly. Not being hard, being gentle, overlooking mistakes, overlooking weaknesses, and giving people time to turn around. And eventually, everybody turns around. With time and with proper care, people do turn around. So a shepherd must learn to lead softly, not being harsh and hard. That's not the way to go. Thank you.
Beautiful. I want to try and squeeze in a couple more questions. I believe that we have another question in the audience. All right, this way, there's a gentleman here. So ask, okay. Please ask your question.
Hi, Bishop. My name is Ama Solomon, and I would like to ask that, is there a place for rebukes, correction, and then hardness in shepherding?
I think we touched on this briefly, but...
Is there a place for rebukes? Yes. There's a place for rebukes and hardness and correctness. That is why you must first learn to be gentle.
Yeah.
There can't be shepherding without correction.
Correction, yeah.
And rebukes.
Yeah.
There can't be.
Yeah.
You can't bring up anyone without chastisement. Then you are raising bastards. Yeah. But anyone you must be hard on, first of all, should have enjoyed your gentleness.
Beautiful. That's it.
I'll take it again.
Right, yeah.
I'll take it again. Anyone you will correct with hardness and severity and harshness should have been someone you have already loved and been gentle towards.
Beautiful. I love that.
When you've not loved someone first and you are hard on the person, you can actually kill the person's spirituality and kill the person's life. So in Revelations, Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke.
Wow.
Yes, Revelations 3.
Love,
yes, as many as I love. So look at the order. Love comes before rebukes.
Beautiful, beautiful.
As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Wow.
So the order is very important.
Yeah.
So when you listen to me preach, and you say, oh, I preach with hardness, you don't know
careful
that the
now.
People sitting there have
careful.
Been loved.
Careful.
Before.
Careful.
Be very careful.
Careful.
You haven't loved your members.
No.
You haven't been gentle. In fact, sometimes they even come and ask that. It's been a long time since I faced them. Have they done something to me? So it's a very important shepherding.
Yeah.
It's an order. Learn it. That's why when you meet people for the first time, Your assignment is to be gentle with them.
Yeah.
And tender.
Yeah. Yeah.
And after being gentle and tender, you will now have, you see, you would have gained their confidence enough to correct them.
Yeah.
They will see you as somebody who loves them.
Yeah.
They will, of course, some will not remember. But generally,
one of you is a devil.
Yes, there must be rebukes
in
raising people.
Yeah.
There must be corrections.
Yeah.
Even the word of God, 2 Timothy 3, is profitable for doctrine,
correction,
rebukes, and instruction. Yeah. So you can't raise anybody without the element of correcting and rebuking.
Yeah.
That is why you should have brought the person up with tenderness and gentleness so that the person has the capacity to receive corrections and rebukes.
Yeah.
So there's a place for hardness. There's a place for harshness. There's a place to rebuke sharply.
Yeah.
But not the young ones.
Yeah.
That's why you must know the young so you don't take your things on them.
Beautiful. So there is a place for rebukes, and
that place
is after love.
After love.
After love. And that scripture in Revelation 3:19, I like it because when you look at it, it says, as many as I love, which means that the rebuking is reserved for those who have experienced love.
Beautiful.
It's reserved for those, as many as I love.
That's beautiful. Clap your hands.
As many as I love, I rebuke.
So, I mean, you try it. Try to rebuke somebody you've not loved.
Ah, that's where the problems begin.
Yes. The person will find you very, very strange and very eerie.
Yeah.
Eerie. You know, so rebukes are that is why a pastor must love well.
Yeah.
Love well, because you will need to rebuke well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be gentle, care well, because there will be a day you will have to correct. And if you have not been tender and gentle to that person, you'll be found wanting. So that is it right there. Beautiful.
Beautiful. I think I have time for one more question. Today I'm trying to ask as many questions as possible. I have one more question. Okay, I have a lady here. Tell us your name and tell us what your question is.
Hello, I'm Victoria. My question is, are there instances where gentleness and tenderness are inappropriate in shepherding?
Beautiful. Mm. I mean, I think it's in the same vein.
Yes.
Yeah, there are times. There are times you can't be gentle anymore.
Yeah.
You know, a church has got civilians and soldiers. Every church has civilians and soldiers. The civilians are the ordinary members who are not involved in the fight to build the church, who are not involved in the hard work of advancing the church.
Yeah.
They just come, listen to a nice message, give some notes of acquiescence, drop a nice offering, send the pastor a text that he preached nicely,
and they are off. For the week.
For the week. But they are also soldiers. They are also soldiers who are building the church, who are fighting for the cause of God. Those people who have matured need hardness. You shouldn't be soft on these soldiers. Soldiers are not brought up with softness. So Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, I think verse 3, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So right there you see that certain people in the church must endure hardness. Not everybody is a soldier. I wish every member in the church was a soldier. But they are civilians and they are soldiers.
Yeah.
And a pastor must understand that those who are builders must be, remember I said, to the weak you become weak.
Yeah.
Yes. And also to the hard, you must become hard.
Yeah.
To the strong, you must be strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's why you must know who to direct your strength towards.
Yeah.
Who to direct rebukes and corrections. So there are times when people need to be corrected, must be taken through hard times, must be taken through difficult times, must be taken through the battlefield of the sound of gunfire and bombs and all kinds of, you know, difficulties we need to take our soldiers through. So when people are shepherds, pastors, and so on, they can't always be treated with gentleness and tenderness. Soldiers need hardness. And they must learn to endure hardness. So gentle and tender are for the young, immature, and the children. And then soldiers must be treated with hardness and strength. That's the differentiation you must have in your mind as a shepherd.
Wow, beautiful, 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 beautiful. Well, at this time, I want to say to you again that this is a beautiful work. I'm reliably told that it's become one of your favorite programs. I want you to do us a great favor. I want you to support this beautiful work that we're doing by sending in a donation, sending in an offering. And I'm going to put up on the screen the numbers that you can use wherever you are. The number at the top you can use if you're based here in Ghana. And if you're outside Ghana, for our international viewers, you can use the number at the bottom. It's got the name Laureen Boateng on it. I want you to support the Art of Shepherding chat room generously. I want you to sow a seed in a work that God himself is using to prepare his church and to prepare his people and to improve the quality of care that his people are receiving. So I want you to, wherever you're watching from, sow a seed, give generously. You should do that now as I'm talking, by the way. Give generously, and I believe that God will bless you mightily. I also want to remind you that this is a chat room, so send in your questions, your comments, send them to us on whichever social media platform you're watching on. You can send us your comments, your questions, and we'll be happy to take those questions and comments. Well, I'll take a brief break, and then I'll be back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today has been particularly awesome. I've been totally blown away by the discussions we've had and the things that we have heard, the individuality of shepherding, the need for a shepherd to be gentle, to be tender, and the fact that shepherding is not mass spraying at all. It's got to be one-on-one. It's got to be individual. If you've missed all that, I suggest that you go back and you watch it. It will really, really help you and impact on your ministry. Well, I'm sad to say that all too soon we have come to the end of tonight's show. But before we go, there's one more very important thing we need to do, and that is that I'd like to ask Bishop Edwin to please pray with us, and as you usually do, pray for shepherds across the world, shepherds who are watching, pastors who are watching, you know, all of us who look after God's people and after God's flock. Say a prayer for us before you take leave of us.
Wow. Thank you, Bishop Kobe. It's been nice chatting with you.
Today's been awesome. I've enjoyed it.
I look forward to more of such times. Oh, and yes. I would like us to bow our heads, just close our eyes, and I want to pray. Father, I pray for the pastors and the shepherds who have come to this forum, this chat room. I pray, Lord, that you put love in their hearts, love for their sheep, love strong enough to drive them to them as individuals, to know them so that they will know how to care for them. Lord, grant us the capacity to be gentle and tender in bringing up our members. Help us to be interested in the personal circumstances of our members. I pray in the name of Jesus for dedication, for wisdom, to know when to be hard, when to be soft. Grant us that judgment, that discretion. I pray that none under the sound of my voice will overdrive the sheep.
Amen.
None under the sound of my voice will kill the sheep.
Amen.
May their sheep not die.
Amen.
May their sheep not be overdriven.
Amen.
Lord, as we journey on in ministry, may it be said that the sheep we met earlier on, 20 years earlier, are still with us 20 years after. And we've seen our sheep mature and grow to become great pillars in the ministry.
Amen.
I pray, Lord, that none shall lose the sheep.
Amen.
Bless our flock.
Yes.
Bless our churches.
Yes.
Bless our ministries.
Yes.
Bless our basenters.
Yes.
Bless the shepherds.
Yes.
Grant them the joy of this ministry.
Amen.
Like Moses said in Deuteronomy 28, may we serve you with gladness and joyfulness of heart.
Amen.
For the abundance of all things. Thank you for the privilege to serve you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for the privilege to be called your servants. And thank you for the wisdom of being gentle and tender.
Yes,
thank you for this amazing book by our father, Bishop Dagiwa Mills.
Yes.
I pray for him, Lord, that you bless him,
yes,
you keep him, you advance him, and grant him more strength to be a blessing to this generation and the generations after. Lord, we thank you that till we meet again, you will keep us, preserve us, and keep us anointed, keep us zealous,
yes,
keep us on fire for the things of God, for the things of your kingdom, for the things that are spiritual.
Amen.
And drive out carnality, immaturity, and unspirituality.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
May we stand tall as dependable sheep, faithful sheep that you are using and building the kingdom with. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I thank you that these shepherds shall last.
Amen.
They shall see the end.
Amen.
None shall drop.
Amen.
None shall fall away.
Yes.
We shall march on with strength. Amen. And take the kingdoms of this world for Jesus. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you very much, Bishop Edwin. What a heartfelt prayer. These prayers are really beautiful, beautiful. Thank you very much for being with us, spending time with us, Bishop Edwin. It's been a pleasure. We've learned so much. I want to say a very big thank you to all of you who have joined us tonight. I want to remind you to share this stream. Share the link to the page. Let others find out about the Art of Shepherding chat room. And I pray that your ministry will do well to flourish. I pray that you will be able to apply some of the things that you have learned tonight. And whilst you do that, I'll say to you that we'll meet again same time next week to get into some more deep revelations about shepherding and the ministry. Thank you very much for joining us. Good night, and we'll see you again next week.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenere Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.